This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's been just over a year since the first pedestrian was hit and killed by a self-driving car in Arizona. Since then, we've learned a lot about the algorithms that drive autonomous vehicles, literally. We've heard that they are safer than human drivers and that researchers are working on teaching them to make tough moral choices. But we've also learned recently that some algorithms are better at detecting light-skinned pedestrians and therefore more likely to hit a dark-skinned pedestrian. Obviously, there are still problems. So how much progress have we made in a year, and where is the development of autonomous vehicles heading? Nick Evans is assistant professor of philosophy at the University of Massachusetts Lowell. He's working on the challenge of ethics in artificial intelligence. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Where are we in the deployment of autonomous vehicles? I mean, how many are on the roads right now? Are they only being tested, or are they, you know, out there and driving freely at this point?
So it depends on what we mean by an autonomous vehicle. There are certainly hundreds, if not thousands, of vehicles on the road now that have some limited measure of autonomy. So these are cars that have things like adaptive cruise control, where they can see the cars in front of them and moderate your speed so you don't run into them when you're on cruise control. As far as I know, there are not so-called fully autonomous vehicles on the road yet. These are vehicles that could start at your home and take you to work and navigate everything from back streets to busy urban environments to highways, all without you touching the wheel. They don't exist yet, but people think that they may exist within the next 5 to 10 years.
Nick, 37,000 people died in car accidents in 2016. Driving is inherently dangerous, and that's one of the motivations for trying to develop autonomous vehicles, is the idea that they could actually be safer. We've heard that they could be safer in the future, that they might be safer now. Where does that actually stand? What do the numbers tell us?
So there are two things to think about there. One is that there are a lot of deaths on the road in the United States. But the number of deaths that occur on the road in the United States are as much a function of the amount that Americans drive as it is about the danger of American roads. Now, American roads are more dangerous than roads in comparable countries such as the United Kingdom, Canada, or Australia. The other thing to think about is that those deaths are actually not distributed evenly across society. So you are more likely to die on the road if you are undereducated relative to the rest of the American population, and if you are poorer than the rest of the American population. So one of the things to think about is that although there are a lot of deaths on the road, and autonomous vehicles might solve some of them, the extra cost associated with vehicle autonomy means that the people who are most likely to die on the roads are not actually the people who are going to be saved by the autonomous vehicles.
Well, Nick Evans, flesh that out a little bit. I mean, when are they safer? What are autonomous vehicles and artificial intelligence potentially better at doing? And then where do they potentially fail?
So right now, in terms of things like following and maintaining consistent and safe speeds and distances in highway traffic, it's probably true that autonomous vehicles are already safer than humans. And that's because autonomous vehicles don't get frustrated, they don't get angry, they don't tailgate people. I live in Massachusetts and this is a endemic problem. However, autonomous vehicles can very easily be spoofed or confused by relatively trivial things that almost no human would have trouble with. So you can draw 3 or 4 white marks on a road, and an autonomous vehicle, and in particular this was done on a Tesla vehicle, will view those 3 or 4 white marks as a merging lane and will suddenly change lanes. Wow. In order to match what it thinks is the rules of the road. But any human being would say, oh, that's a dinner plate on a road, or that's a plastic bag, or that's a line of chalk on a road, not an actual lane signal. So in those cases, autonomous vehicles are not only less competent than humans, but they're arguably more dangerous than humans.
As a philosopher and an ethicist, I wonder, you've raised this question, how do we even set a threshold for what is safe enough before we decide that these vehicles are something that we want to put on the road? And you've also posed an interesting question previously about whether, you know, we should set that threshold based on the total number of fatalities caused by driverless or human-driven cars, as opposed to maybe setting the threshold based on how do they react to the most vulnerable populations on the road.
So my way of thinking about this would be saying that we want to make sure that autonomous vehicles, for a broad range of cases, are better than humans and are not worse than humans in any significant way. We also need to consider these days what should be standard for cars and what should not be standard for cars when we think about safety. So right now, in every state, I believe, except New Hampshire, seatbelts are the rule and seatbelts are the law. We should start to think about which other safety features ought to be part of a car as standard rather than as optional extras.
Nick Evans, what you're describing there is kind of a hybrid system where maybe we would use autonomy or even mandate autonomy in those situations where we know that AI is better than humans at, you know, maintaining an appropriate speed, using the brakes, that sort of thing. But then there's those other situations that you were talking about where currently humans are better. And some of those come down to really tough moral dilemmas. And your work as a philosopher coming into this field, trying to inject ethics into artificial intelligence, what are some of the moral dilemmas that you've been working on?
So a lot of the concern that one will read about or listen to in the context of autonomous vehicles typically centers on deciding who lives and dies in an emergent situation. So, for example, the car has to swerve left or swerve right, and there are people who might be killed in either case, and it has to make a decision about which direction it's going to go. The current research that my team is conducting is looking at the ethics of the distribution of very small, often, amounts of risks over very large numbers of miles or long periods of time that may or may not result in fatalities at certain points, but often just increase your chances of being in a serious crash over time. So, for example, when an autonomous vehicle is passing in another lane a large truck, maybe one of the trucks that, you know, transports cars to and from lots, if it moves around in its lane in order to keep its occupant safe, is it applying risk to someone in a third lane by getting too close to that driver, or by increasing the risk that if something untoward would happen, that neither car can react appropriately in time? So these aren't necessarily risks that always involve death, but they are risks that when you add them up over the billions and even trillions of miles that Americans drive every year, could substantially affect not only the number of people who have serious injuries or die in car crashes, but also the kinds of people who can be in serious car crashes and die.
When we talk about some of these moral dilemmas, you know, it strikes me that a human being facing one of these situations where something pops up in the road in front of you, you've got to swerve one way or the other. Somebody's going to be injured or killed no matter what you do, and you've got to make a split-second decision. There's not necessarily any right decision, and I think we tend to be fairly forgiving of humans in that situation, understanding that it's difficult, if not impossible. Would we be as forgiving of an autonomous vehicle, and should we be, or is this an area where we're just not ready to go there yet?
So in terms of are we there yet, I think the answer is at this point pretty firmly no, just in terms of public perceptions. Some research by the Pew Trust shows that by and large Americans are not yet comfortable with the idea of giving over their driving to a robot. And so I think that in terms of public perceptions, there's a lot of work to be done to build the trust that is going to be needed, not only for people to get in these cars themselves, but to accept potentially the very fundamental changes to our road system that are going to be required or will become incentivized as autonomous vehicles become more and more prevalent. If you have large numbers of autonomous vehicles on the road relative to human-driven cars, for example, it's possible to take out a lot of stop signals because the autonomous vehicles can by and large coordinate among themselves when one of them goes and when one of them stops. But you can imagine that people are not going to be super comfortable when we start taking out traffic lights. In terms of what should we do, I think one of the things we should do is think very hard about not only whether or not we want autonomous vehicles to replace passenger cars, but what we want our future transportation systems to look like. So right now, there are people who are very seriously saying that we should cancel or allow the New York Metro to kind of disintegrate and replace it with autonomous vehicles. That sounds promising if you're a certain kind of person, but if you're someone who relies on the metro because you can't afford to buy, insure, and maintain a vehicle, this is another moral question that autonomous vehicles raise that we haven't yet grappled with.
And it's not just access to autonomous vehicles that could perpetuate or exacerbate inequalities in our country. It appears that some of the algorithms going into autonomous vehicles are essentially racist. They are reflecting and amplifying biases that are inherent somehow in their training or the data that they were trained on. And in one particular case, they're better at seeing light-skinned pedestrians than seeing dark-skinned pedestrians, and therefore more likely to hit dark-skinned pedestrians. Do you think the field is giving enough attention? Are researchers doing enough to fix the biases that are currently inherent in artificial intelligence?
No, they are not. And the reason we know they are not is because this is not a new problem, and it's not a problem that's exclusive to autonomous vehicles. The problem with race in algorithmic bias is very long-standing. Arguably, the famous initial case that brought this to the fore was the so-called racist soap dispenser. And there are many, many other cases of this, everything from automatic doors to facial recognition in cameras and so on and so forth. These are very, very common problems with machine learning. They are serious ethical issues, and thus far, the artificial intelligence community has not done a huge amount of soul searching about making sure that we're including the right samples and the most representative samples we can when we train artificial intelligence, and also that when we test artificial intelligence, that we make sure we include the right kinds of tests to pick these issues up in testing before we deploy them into the real world.
Nick Evans, are you optimistic about this? You're still working on this technology, so I would assume you don't think it's a dead end, but how are you feeling about the prospects for this technology going forward?
I think the future is overcast. I think that there are going to be a lot of bumps along the way. I certainly don't think we're out of the woods yet, and I think that the response has been mixed by different companies. Some companies have been very open about where their technology is. They've been much more forthcoming around how they plan to deploy these kinds of technologies. I think that there's a lot of promise in autonomous vehicles, but I think that we've got a long way to go to learn the right lessons to make this a safe, accessible, and fair technology.
Nick Evans is an assistant professor of philosophy at University of Massachusetts Lowell. He's working on the challenge of ethics in artificial intelligence and autonomous vehicles. Thanks so much for talking with us, Nick.
Thank you.